Tuesday, November 29th. Having a conversation concerning today's headlines and real-life challenges. I'm Tom Lamprecht, along with Pastor Harry Reeder. Stay with us as we apply a biblical worldview with gospel solutions to put the issues of today in perspective. Harry, I want to take you to an op-ed written by Andrew Walker. He is the managing editor of World Opinions in World Magazine. He writes, "Pastor, don't underestimate your influence. It's greater than you can see, and your role is vital." Harry, Andrew Walker takes us to a new report from an organization entitled Neighborly Faith. In that report, they find that there's some encouraging news on the front of pastors' influence that ought to reinvigorate pastors on just how significant their roles are. Pastors really do actually matter in shaping the worldview of their congregation, especially in this report, it says, amongst young evangelicals.
Tom, part of this article was in response to the literally astonishing and record-breaking numbers of those who are leaving the ministry. There seems to be two focused arenas where this mass exodus out of the ministry is taking place. One is in the third to fifth year of ministry, and then another after about 15 to 20 years. I teach in about five different seminaries, and I serve on the leadership of Westminster Seminary. And one of the things that we've done is we've decided that we are really going to create a Master of Divinity program. We're going to make theological education available for those who are interested in it and desirous of it at the master's level. But we've got a thing called the Westminster Fellows Program. And we do a lot to ensure that those who are brought into it have truly been sent by their churches, because those churches have evidence that they really are called to the ministry. Why do I say that? I think some guys mistake zeal to know God's word for a calling to be a pastor. And because they have this zeal to know God's word and be effective for the Lord, and they look and say, well, that must mean I'm gifted to be a pastor, but it may not. And so they come on to seminary and they pass the test because they're smart, and they pass the exams and they go into the church. But the church is ultimately going to have its say, and it becomes evident they haven't been gifted by the Lord to be pastors. So they will usually exit in that 3 to 5 year mark after that period of time becomes obvious. So I want to encourage seminaries. I know you're in competition for students. I think it's fine to take anybody that wants to come and learn theology in your program as a theological graduate school. But there ought to be a focus upon those who truly have exhibited gifts to be trained for the gospel ministry, with a degree focused upon that. Now I want to get to what this article has highlighted. And Tom, I actually want to take this interview and turn it back on you a little bit. You are a believer, you're gifted, you're faithful, you love Christ's church, and you have served as a ruling elder, I think, for 4 decades, if I'm not mistaken. And I know you've given your life sacrificially in love for Christ's church, and I've never been your pastor. I have actually had the privilege to be the pastor who helped get the church started where you were an elder from a distance, but I've never been directly your pastor, and yet we have had some pastoral relationships. But I know of your heart for the church and for pastors, and your desire for them to be faithful and to be properly supported, yet to be accountable. So I would love to get your response to the multiple contributing factors that you might see as an elder in terms of how pastors have exited. I know you've seen a number of pastors exit, and you've had relationships with pastors who have exited the ministry. What would be your assessment of the cause of this phenomena?
Well, Harry, I think the answer is multifaceted, but if I had to go to one particular issue, I would say that many pastors, as they get into the ministry and the role of a senior pastor, they have expectations that are probably unrealistic. In other words, they look to a pastor that's highly successful, and they judge their success by other people's success rather than, am I being faithful to what God has called me, regardless of the progress that it looks like I'm making?
I think so often it's hard for pastors to realize the effect that they have upon those under their ministry and the positive influence that they can be.
Yeah, this article points out how young people actually do look to pastors and the statistics on their impact. So I think you put your finger on two things, actually. Number one, they're measuring themselves by an unrealistic metric. The fact is not every pastor is a five-talent pastor. Some are two talents and some are one talent. But notice, if you're faithful, you get the same blessing from the Lord. Well done, good and faithful servant. The five-talent servant comes back with 10, and he gets the same blessing as the two-talent that comes back with 4. So the point is, I love the way Dr. Robertson McQuilkin told me one time. He said, listen, you got 5 drums, beat them to the best of your ability. If God gave you 2 drums, beat those to the best of your ability. And don't envy the 5-drum guy, nor measure yourself by that person. Secondly, it waits for eternity for you as a pastor to find out just who you affected, what marriages you affected, what lives you affected, people that you planted the gospel seed that later somebody came to Christ. I tell pastors all the time, if somebody comes to Christ in your ministry, I can promise you, you're not the first person to talk to them about Jesus. So somebody else did some work and other pastors had labored, and then you got the opportunity to reap the harvest at that point in time. Tom, let me mention another thing I think that may contribute to this. We know that pastors have authority, and therefore whenever you have authority, you need to be accountable. And therefore, I serve in a Presbyterian system, which one of my reasons is Presbyterian government not only occupies the biblical doctrine of elders, teaching and ruling elders, or pastors and shepherding elders, but it also makes sure that everybody's accountable to somebody. In that system, every member is accountable to somebody, every pastor and every elder is accountable to somebody, and every church is accountable to somebody. And that, therefore, we can embrace the biblical call to submit to one another, because here's a system that demands submission at every single point. But sometimes, in the guidance of a church by the elders sitting what we call in session, there is the sense of, well, my duty is to be against the pastor. It's what I call the English parliamentarian system, where I'm going to be the loyal opposition. I'm loyal, but I'm opposing the pastor. We got to keep him humble, got to keep him accountable. Well, I mean, that just takes a toll on a pastor after 10 to 15 years. You're pushing a rope up the hill. You're running from the spring with a bucket that's got holes in it. And every time you get there, because of all the stuff you got to go through to get to ministry, by the time you get to the ministry to pour the water out to the people, it's all leaked out in the process of getting there. And then emotionally, instead of being on a team, instead of being on a football team where everybody's helping each other, the elders become like a golf team and everybody's doing their own thing. And we're, okay, we'll add up the score and hopefully our team wins at the end. And that just wears a guy out, wears pastors out. I've seen it time and time again. To my pastor friends, I would say, I do realize you get arrows from the outside and then you get arrows from the back on the inside. I wished I could tell you that's never going to happen, but it does happen. As I tell people, friendly fire is not too friendly, and seldom is it accidental. Sometimes it's well aimed. So just realize that's going to happen inside the church, even as you're ready to take the fire from outside the church. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. Put on the armor of the Lord. Raise up the divine weapons designed to serve and advance the kingdom. May the Spirit of God fill you to overflowing. And let some other people, not me necessarily, but people like me, challenge your elders to surround you, to encourage you as you lead them forward. Listen, you're having an impact. The survey affirms it, but you already need to know it, and I want you to know that.
As we close out, let me remind you, we have a special feature every Friday called Ask the Pastor. This is your chance to participate in this podcast. Send us your questions, questions related to what do the scriptures mean on a particular passage, or questions of life and how the scriptures address those questions. Write to us at askthepastor@briarwood.org. We look forward to receiving and answering your questions on Friday's Ask the Pastor feature. Well, do stop by again tomorrow, Wednesday, as we continue our conversation and as we apply a biblical worldview to put the issues of today in perspective.